You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And thank you for joining us for another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. Yes, hello in the chat. I am talking to you. You better hit that like button right now. Thank you guys for joining us. I'm Lindsay Smith here with Espo and Gerald Borges. Saul will be joining us here in just a little bit. But first, we have a special guest in the house. Andrew Gaze, thank you for coming through, an Australian basketball legend who is here on tour with the Adelaide 36ers and Australian Maid. How are you? Thank you for coming by.
Well, we're a lot better this today after a surprise win last night, a fantastic game, and very proud of the way in which the 36ers represented the NBL and also, of course, Australia. It's gotten a bit of traction in Australia, as you can imagine, and we're all super proud.
Got a lot of attraction here as well.
Yes. different
reasons.
For sure.
Different reasons.
First, I want to thank you, Andrew, for being the most decorated person on the program, dethroning Lindsay. Her two Emmys she usually holds over us. But you're much more decorated.
Yeah. So. Wow.
You are far more decorated.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about last night. Just from, obviously, I'm sure you guys had a blast at that game.
Yeah.
Kind of from your vantage point, what did you see that favored the 36ers?
Well, you always go into these games with very high expectations, but we've been doing these NBA games with NBL clubs for probably 4 or 5 years now. And the closest we came was a few years ago when Melbourne United, one of our other clubs, lost to OKC by a point. Mm-hmm. So we've been close, and there's been a lot of international teams come through, and you know, you come in and you're hopeful, but very rarely do you come away with a win. So it's not just the win; I think it's the way they played. If you're at the game, the oohs and ahs that, and there's the surprise factor from the fans on the way in which the Adelaide 36ers in particular shot the ball.
Yeah.
But it's easy to be intimidated. I've actually coached a team and been on one of these two. I played against the Clippers one time, played against Utah, and it's hard not to be in awe some of the times. But 36ers have got some high quality players. Guys are on the fringe of the NBA, and they caused a major upset, and it was a lot of fun if you're an Australian, and not so much for you Phoenix fans, but early days for you guys, I'm sure.
Explain to me, is it normal for NBL clubs to shoot like 70% from three? Is that traditional down there?
I don't think it's normal for anyone to shoot as a team the way they did. And the other thing is, if you look at the NBL, our three-point line is closer than that. So this was a little further than what we're normally accustomed to. But with some of them, I mean, it was Steph Curry type range.
Yeah.
With Randall, some of the shots they were taking, you'd normally look at and go, like, I'm on the sidelines thinking, oh, gee, that's a bad shot. Oh, yeah, it went in. You know, it was one of those types of situations. But that's the way the game's played these days. And they got some really good talent, and they took it right up to them. And it was, they got an unbelievable reward.
Yeah, that was the one thing that stood out to me watching the game was, you mentioned, you know, sometimes being in that situation, it's natural to feel in awe, but they just like took that moment and completely owned it. And we were talking to Jock Landale at practice earlier in the week, and he was telling us about how like he feels like this is a good opportunity to showcase the NBL. And he was saying, you know, it's case for being the second best, third best basketball league in the world. Just what did this kind of mean for showcasing NBL talent?
Well, in Australia, we love to pump ourselves up in regards to the rhetoric about how good the competition is. But basketball is not the main sport. There's NRL, there's AFL, there's other sports that go on. That we're sort of that next tier down. And a lot of people think, oh, yeah, that's just PR speak, a bit of rhetoric about your competition. And now when you have a result like this where you have some really tangible evidence mm-hmm. of how good our competition is, that people stand up and take notice. Mm-hmm. And our league's already started. The Adelaide 36ers, they weren't there for round one. So that was their they played some preseason game, but that was their first game. And you get this adrenaline shot where you're in this magnificent facility playing against a team that was a breath away from the finals last year. So it was an exciting time for them, and they made the most of it.
Mm-hmm. I did want to ask you, because so many Australian basketball players, you ask them about anyone who's been on the team recently or going back to your playing days, yeah. and there's just such a reverence and respect for each other and a camaraderie. So how close are you to like Jock and some of these other guys that have come through the program?
Well, I'm really close to Jock because I actually coached him before he actually went. He was played for one of my teams before he went to St. Mary's.
Okay.
So I got to know him quite well. And I'll be 100% honest, he had these high, lofty goals mm-hmm. when he was before he went to St. Mary's. But what you see of Jock right now is a long, long way away from what he was before mm-hmm. he went to college. It was this chubby guy that was keen and had the right, was there, but perhaps didn't have the right work ethic. And I remember there was a couple of times when I laid it out about what it's required, and he had these unbelievable ambitions of what he wanted to do. And in the back of my head, I said, well, mate, make sure you get those studies done, because I'm not so sure in my own head. But to his unbelievable credit, the way in which he then committed himself, changed his body shape, became more athletic, worked on his perimeter shot, it is a really good story of someone who has been born with some DNA that's allowed him to be almost 7 feet, but really committed himself to what he wanted to achieve. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just talk. He actually applied himself. And it is one of the more remarkable turnarounds when you see someone at that stage to mm-hmm. where he is now. And I have nothing but praise and admiration for his dedication and commitment, because that doesn't happen by accident. It mm-hmm. takes a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. And he is fantastic. And Josh Giddey, who's another one that mm-hmm. we're going to see, he is like my second son. I played with his dad. I coached him from the time he was 8 or 9 and okay. through the junior ranks. And I know him really, really well. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to catching up with him. And he's at the start of his journey, but his rookie season last year was something really special.
Yeah.
So the high expectations on him. And we're proud of all the Australian guys. I think that right now, the narrative around Australian players is they're really tough.
Mm-hmm.
They come with a really good team ethos, and they just have a nastiness about them mm-hmm. that teams like to see. There's mm-hmm. that toughness that they bring to a team, and they're really good teammates. So that has it all bodes well for the next generation coming through, whether it's a coincidence or whether it's part of our culture, whatever the explanation is, it's something that a lot of people like. Hey, you guys should be – we remember Aaron Baines.
Yeah. yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bainesy was here. Mm-hmm. And the good news about Bainesy, he's had a tough time after mm-hmm. – he had a setback in Tokyo with the Olympics.
Right.
And he's had a tough time of it, but he's back now playing with the team in Brisbane, and he's healthy, he's happy, and it's looking really good for him.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're no strangers to Australian centers. Luke Longley,
yes.
Aaron yeah. Baines, now Jock. We know him around here pretty well.
Yeah.
Going back a little bit to Jock and just that work ethic that he had to have in order to get to this point in his career, do you think that could take him to yet another level now that he's in the NBA and has access to all of these great coaches and teammates and whatnot?
Yeah, well, his story is one that – He wasn't like some of the Australians we have in the competition. He went to college, went undrafted, went to Europe, spent some time there, played in our NBL before he got signed by the Spurs. And the Spurs were a lot of times about that opportunity. And Matt Nielsen is one of the assistant coach for the San Antonio Spurs, who worked with Jock with the Australian team. And I think that was a big part of how he got that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And he's under no illusions about him still trying to establish himself as a NBA player and a long-term NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at what the team is, how the team's been constructed this year, and he's going to get an opportunity. he didn't shoot it that well from the 3-point line yesterday, mm-hmm. but he can shoot it from there. He's a really good athlete. He runs the floor. He can defend fours and fives. Mm-hmm. And I think that with what we've seen with Phoenix, he's a really, really good fit. So hopefully it sticks. And this is the start of a long and proper prosperous career for him with Phoenix, and also a great opportunity for Phoenix to have him and help the program.
We're big fans of him on this show. He joined us about a month ago mm-hmm. in studio. Yeah. We had a blast talking with him. So we're very hopeful that he can stick here in Phoenix and be.
Yeah.
Was he a master of sarcasm when he was
Oh, he's pretty good. Yeah. He's a bit of a smart ass. But he does it in a good way. And I think that's something about the personality or the nature of Australians. We're pretty laid back. We're self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. We're pretty humble. So he's, I think he'll fit in well. And that's why I think that he and other Australians are loved as well, because – you know, it's really important what you're doing out there, and there's a lot at stake, and it's big money, big business, all those types of things. But you always got to keep it in perspective, and I mm-hmm. think that he's got a really good head on his shoulders, and he will keep it in perspective.
He definitely has a good rapport with his team. He's only been here a couple months, and it was interesting to hear the way that they all just talk about him. And he's trying to get Mikal Bridges and the rest of them to try Vegemite.
Yes.
Do you have a pitch for him will help him?
Last night we interviewed him for one of the programs that we do for back home, and it's going to be – I think they're going to take bits and pieces of it and put it on the Phoenix social media as well. Yes. And he was talking about it, and we gave him a whole bunch of things, Australian-made things, because mm-hmm. that's what – this tour – it's a basketball experience, but it's also an opportunity for us to promote Australia, mm-hmm. have people come and visit, have come and people look at Australian products and see what we can do. And I think that we're so far away sometimes that people think of Australia, and a lot of Americans don't always understand mm-hmm. that we're a very advanced, civilized country that can do some really good things. So it's so that's part of the reason why we do these tours as well. But he said he tried to share some Vegemite with a few people, and they haven't necessarily embraced it as you would think. But have you guys ever tried Vegemite?
I have, yeah. No.
It's a beautiful, beautiful on toast. It is mm-hmm. a bit salty, mm-hmm. but I remember, like, I've got four kids, and my mum, we used to, you know, when you have your a dummy, when you're a baby, your mm-hmm. dummy. Well, you call them pacifiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They dab a little bit of Vegemite on it.
Really?
Sucking away on the thing, and they go straight to sleep. So hopefully it's
there you go.
We haven't done any damage to us.
Yeah. We usually do bourbon here.
that'll certainly give us some rest.
I think my friend went about it the wrong way. She had me try a little bit straight out of the tube first.
And then she
gave it to me on toast.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to the toast part, I was already like, nope, this is just not for me.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funky smell too. It's got a little, not a nasty one, but it's different.
I also think the color kind of maybe throws it off a little bit.
Maybe. But like, we're so used to it. Mm-hmm. And you know, there wouldn't be very rarely a day I go by where I don't have some vegetable in a sandwich or toast or something. So it's obviously pretty popular, but you need to try it.
Yeah.
And
I've never tried it. And so I was saying, next time we have Jock on the show, we'll just have to try it live on the show.
I'm somebody that'll try anything.
Right.
Anything I'm up for, especially food wise, as the physique shows. I'm not afraid of the food. Yeah. I have a friend, Lee Ellis, part of the No Dunks podcast.
I know him well.
I was talking to him last night, told him you were coming on the show, and he wanted me to ask you about this photo. If you could explain it, we have it here coming up on the screen. Not that one.
That was a good one.
That is all your accolades. This one.
Oh, yeah.
Can you explain this photo to me?
Well, it actually got worse. That was one I got hit. I was playing a game. You know the blood rule, you can't come out and you've got to stop the bleeding. Mm-hmm. And back when I was playing, they were a lot more pedantic about making sure that – so I actually still have the scar on here. I got hit in the jaw. And in the same game, so I had to have like six stitches on here. In the same game, I actually got hit on the back of my head. So I had him going, I had the bandage going around this way, and then I had to have it going around this way. So I was like,
so your whole head was covered.
That's right. And look at the size of my head. That's a lot of tape.
Yeah.
So that's, that was.
And you kept playing. You didn't stop.
Yeah, that's right. Now, these days with head injuries and with what happens with health and safety protocols, they're a little bit more strict about, sure. Hey, mate, I don't care how good you think you feel. You got to sit down.
Yeah. But
back then, strap him up and get him out there as quick as you can.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, a lot of Suns fans, you probably just gained a lot of favor with them because we've seen Steve Nash wrapped his nose, his whole head. So
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have comments already being like, it looks just like Steve Nash that one time.
Yeah.
I had one final question I wanted to ask. You played with the Spurs and
played is a very loose term.
You were with the Spurs?
I was with the Spurs. I didn't play too much, but it was it was the year that I was part of the 99 championship winning team.
Mm-hmm. So do you have the ring?
I do have a ring.
Nice.
It's one of those ones that I say this quite seriously, if you looked up most irrelevant player on a championship roster, there will be a happy, smiling face of me.
I'm sure you're one rung above Adam Morrison.
You've got to be higher than Adam Morrison.
No, I was there, and it was actually a more later stage of my career when I went there, but just incredibly privileged opportunity to be in a situation that the team won the championship. Mm-hmm. And although I, you know, my role and your competitive instinct was everyone likes to play a bit more, but when you've been around, you understand you got to just do what you can. And I was part of the group along with, you think back and some of the icons of the game, you know, mm-hmm. Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Steve Kerr, Mario L.E., Jerome, Kersey, Will Perdue, these guys, Avery Johnson just was there, Antonio Daniels. It was just a fun group to be a part of. And, of course, got to experience the legend Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
And that is an experience. It was one that you know, he made left a remarkable impression on me. And as I went into coaching and did some coaching for a while in the NBL to – there were often I'm reflecting back on times and trying to think, well, what would Pop do in these circumstances? So it was just a privileged opportunity and had a great time and obviously very, very grateful to be on that team. I keep the ring in a trophy cabinet. I'm sort of one of those guys, I don't know whether I can really strut the ring because, you know, when you're sitting on the sideline in a suit half the season, it's not quite the same. But it's still a great honor.
It still counts for us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good on you. I appreciate it.
It's more rings than we have here in Phoenix.
Combined.
Just another feather in your cap. Seriously, if you don't know about Andrew Gaze, look up his stats, look up his resume, because this is an Australian-made legend supporting Australia-made. So.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. And it's, we're having fun. And most importantly, our team represented as well.
Yes, so, they did.
Hopefully it inspires people to want to check out Australia. And if you're sports fans and your Suns fans, come down over the summertime, or our summertime, your wintertime, mm-hmm. and see some really high-quality basketball.
We will definitely will try and make it out there as soon as possible.
Saul, do we have the budget? We got the budget to Australia.
Come on, Saul. All right.
Perfect.
We'll put this out there now. All the super chats from here on out will go towards our trip to Australia. So just throwing it out there, you guys, if you want to make that happen. Yeah. Drop a couple super chats. Andrew, thank you so much for coming by and spending some time with us today. We really appreciate having you here. Our chat, big fans of yours. Yes. We had Edward say, I don't know, I'd be sporting the ring. Congrats. So if you do wear it out, you will have a lot of supporters out there. And even though it hurt our feelings last night, congratulations to the 36ers. Happy for you guys. I know that was probably a really special moment for all the fans out in Australia who were able to watch that game. So hopefully you guys have continued success here in just a few days.
We appreciate the hospitality. You guys have been fantastic. And good luck to the Suns this season. I know, although we got the win, now that Australians have seen our team beat you guys, there'll be a little small piece of their heart goes with the Suns, I'm sure,
because
of Jock. So good luck and hopefully have a fun season.
Yeah, just make sure the 36ers win the title in the NBL we feel a little bit better.
That's
about
it. No worries. Good on you guys. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break because I got to tell you about the DraftKings Sportsbook app. If you were on the DraftKings Sportsbook app last night and you put a little scratch down on the 36ers, you probably won quite a few dollars with that game and how it ended last night. If you're not already on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you should absolutely get on it because it makes watching sports so much more fun. And right now, New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. And if that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlay. So right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With bigger payouts than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you use that promo code PHNX. Again, that's promo code PHNX. When you sign up on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, just a reminder, minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Espo, you told me today that you almost bet on the 36ers last night. You should have gone with your gut. You should have followed through. Even if you put 10 bucks down, you would have made some cash.
It would have felt like, just being honest, it would have felt like dirty money to do that. I had my lifelong friend text me. He was like, it was like 5 o'clock. He's like, you see all these NBA scores today? I guarantee Suns 36ers is the closest of any of these preseason games. I go, you know what? You're probably right. And I was looking at the line and then I'm like, nah, I can't do this. And I'm disappointed I didn't, because at least I would have had some rooting interest on the side that won last night. So.
Or you could have, well, you know what? If you felt like that money was a little dirty, you could have always just gone down to Four Peaks and drank your sorrows away with some delightful beer. I'm just saying.
I could have.
You could have just used it for that. I don't know. But I don't know. If you guys haven't checked out Four Peaks Beer, I definitely think you should, because it's delightful and it's local. And we love both of those things. And it's good for watching Suns games.
I don't know anybody delightful, so I can't speak to that.
Gerald's delightful.
Thank you. That's nice.
Gerald is true.
The other three of us, questionable.
Gerald is delightful.
Andrew was delightful as well.
Andrew Gaze was delightful.
Yeah, absolutely. I like delightful as well.
Also, I'm bummed that you were on vacation last week because you missed out on our haunted ghost tour at the brewery.
I heard it was
which
spectacular.
Which was so much fun.
I've actually told the missus I'm going to make sure to take her on a date to do that, because you guys look like you had so much fun with it.
You should. I think that's a great date night, especially now that it's spooky season. It's officially here. It's October. We can be as extra as we want. Four Peaks is a great place to get some food, some great drinks, and have a little bit of spooky fun at the same time.
You know what's not spooky that they have at this time of the year? Pumpkin porter.
Mm.
That stuff is spectacular, and their pumpkin porter cheesecake is to die for.
Every time we go into that brewery, I see the sign for the cheesecake. I'm like, I gotta get one.
Have you ever had it?
No.
Oh, we had like a whole pie the other day.
Yeah. What?
Well, that's what happens when you show up at 11 o'clock. That's what you get. Sorry.
It's tough. It's tough.
Who eats cheesecake before 11 o'clock and the whole entire cheesecake?
It's the breakfast. Whole
You could
crew.
Have saved one slice for 12?
No, it's for the early risers.
Wow. Okay. I'll just buy my own. It's okay. I get it. Just a reminder, though, to enjoy Four Peaks Beer, you must be 21 years or older, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly. See, Eli in the chat gets it. Hashtag feed Chelsea first. At least somebody cares. At least somebody here cares. Thank you, Eli. I appreciate you.
See how you said feed Chelsea?
Yeah,
because like that's the only way we get Lindsay is if we make you happy. No,
so
I embrace the Chelsea.
I'm just saying
all Chelsea all the time.
All right, we have a super chat from Andrew. Thank you, Andrew, for your super chat. Also, I was like half joking about super chats going to sending us to Australia, but also not joking
well,
at all.
You know, honestly, like let's be real. If we get Jock back in the studio one more time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to make that happen.
That would be incredible.
These DMVR guys went all the way to Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it was an epic trip. And it, like I said, I've bragged about it a lot just because it was just a once-in-a-lifetime type trip. I think we could pull off the same thing into Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even lying.
I would Let's be here for it. It. I'd be absolutely here for it.
Yeah, you'll be here for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you'll
we'll
be here.
There
we'll be
for
there.
It.
Oh, man.
Okay, back to Andrew.
Probably got another
super
wedding
chat.
To go to anyway.
Oh, no.
Andrew said, not panicking yet. Remember, we went 0-4 in preseason in 2020-21 season. But yes, we are always inconsistent at times and lose to a bad 36ers.
Okay. That's a nice segue into
Here we go.
So, with that being said, last night, obviously, the Suns played their first preseason game against the 36ers, and they lost 134-124. Congratulations to the Adelaide 36ers.
Yes.
Unfortunate conversations for us to have today on the Suns side of things. But before we dive into takeaways, just I want to get a gauge of where you guys are at on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most severe of a freak out. Where are you guys at?
10 being the most severe?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm at like, I mean, what's less than zero? I'm
I said a scale one. Of 1 to 10. I'm you have a, to pick one.
I'm at a 2.
A 2?
A 2.
Okay.
Two. I'm at a 1.
I'm at a 1.5 maybe. Like, the only thing that happened last night was we learned that the bench is what we thought they were. Not mm-hmm. very good. But they're not all going to come in at once like they did throughout that game last night. I'm not right. overly concerned. Now, if they get trounced on Wednesday against the Lakers, then we can start having some conversation.
I don't even think then. Like, I feel like everything that we saw last night was very predicated on we're going to experiment. We're going to, like, do the things that they have said they were going to do as far as letting Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges initiate more offense, as far as getting DA the ball and letting him go to work a little bit more, which was one of the encouraging things from last night. I think the only concern was a concern that we already had as far as the bench. But again, there's not going to be those platoon style substitutions that we saw. The starters are not going to play 22 minutes on a night on a regular NBA night. So I'm really not all that concerned. I think the bench has concerns, but we already knew that from the start. Starters played fine.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't strategize this game whatsoever. You weren't trying to look at matchups and put, you know, right. and move Mikal around or DA. Or you just played ball, got the guys into a flow. Yeah, the 36ers came out, and they played amazing basketball. Like, cool. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Like, and even the bench, like, I listen, I'm not trying to downplay how bad this bench is going to be. I think this bench is not going to be good. Mm-hmm. I know that. But I don't even know if last night really confirmed that either, like, in terms of, like, solidifying the fact that they will be not good. I'll wait until we get to the regular season and see how it plays out and see how they really manipulate their lineup to really manage the bench as well. And I think that's something that they didn't really do last night either.
Well, so. Didn't Monty address that post game as well, mentioning that, you know, further on in preseason, he's going to tinker with some of those lineups? And Espo, you had said it earlier today before the show started, it was kind of like hockey substitutions last yeah. night, right. which we likely will not see in the actual season, regular yeah. season. Right.
Also, the other thing that really bothers me more than that, honestly, is the fact that there were so many guys that didn't play.
Yeah, I think,
like,
that
was... the fuck is the point of the preseason if you're not even going to get a look at a lot of the other guys?
Yeah, where was our guy Dwayne Washington?
Yeah.
And
like,
Dario
I don't
Saric.
Get that at all. Like, bro, this is not the playoffs. You can play Aaron Holiday today, Monty.
Can I put the tinfoil hat on when
always.
It comes to Dario?
Always.
Tinfoil hat time. Maybe he's in a deal with Jay that they're working on and didn't
and they
want,
don't
to
want
risk
him to get
getting
hurt.
Dario?
Yeah.
It's entirely possible. Monty, when asked about it after the game, said, we just have so many bigs, it's hard to play them all. And after a year away, he's going to get looks in preseason as we go along. But after a year away, he just maybe isn't.
There's
quite
only,
ready
there's
for that
only,
type of thing.
I just don't buy
guys,
that. Though.
There's only 48 minutes of the game. I can only do so much. Get the, what?
He just played 6 games in FIBA in the Eurobasket.
But he also did bring up the Jock Landale thing, which is something we had talked about last week on the show. I had said, I think Jock is shaping up to be the backup center. They want to get a look. They've liked what they've seen in training camp. Monty mentioned it again last night, and Jock was the first backup big to come off the bench at that 5 spot. I really do think he might lock that spot down. And so now it's a matter of, okay, can Dario play the 4? Because that's where his minutes might be.
You know when you find that out? In a game against the 36ers in the preseason. You don't find it out game one in the regular season. You experiment with it now. That's why it didn't hold a lot of water to me.
It doesn't make sense.
Maybe you're keeping the bubble wrap on because you're working on some sort of deal. A bigger deal, because if you add those two guys together, you're pushing $20 million in salary. So then you're talking John Collins, Baines, or Harrison Barnes, excuse me.
I was like,
Baines.
What?
Aaron Baines.
We're gonna, what?
No, Harrison Barnes.
Enough from the NBL. It's time to make some trades.
Erica, yeah. We're trading for all NBL guys for the bench.
We just swap. Swap second unit.
Yep, there we go.
That's my tinfoil hat. When I was watching that was what I kept.
I don't really even think that's really tinfoily. Yeah. Is that a word?
No, it's not. Tinfoily? It's not. Maybe it's just a hat. It's just a hat.
It's just a hat. You know, I think that there's some legit.
Hat.
You could definitely look at that and say, okay, well, this could absolutely be happening. And listen, man, I again, Monty just baffles me from time to time. I just don't understand it. I don't understand. Listen, the four or five games they'll play in the preseason is cool. You tinker and you manipulate things and try to get – you got to get guys reps. That's the most important thing. You played Booker and CP3 and DA, 20 minutes. Let them get a flow. But this is more also an opportunity for you to see what the hell you really got against other competition. And so I don't understand why he refuses to do this. I just don't understand it. And like the first 10 games of the regular season really are not a preseason, don't get me wrong, but they are an opportunity for Monty to really hone in what his rotation is going to be in those 10 games. And then they kind of go off from there. I just don't understand why you wouldn't use these meaningless games to get guys reps, especially DNPs. Well, I don't understand that whatsoever.
Well, I mean, I don't – like, I think the way that he justified it was, I'm trying to get the starting unit reps together, and I'm trying to get the predominant bench group that we're going to roll with reps together. So whether that's because Dario's part of a trade or whether because he's having a hard time figuring out where he's going to slot in as either a four or a five – and as far as Dwayne, I understand wanting to get him reps, but he's just not part of the rotation right now. Like, he's not. So I'd rather him get the bench guys unit, like get that unit time together to work out some of the awful kinks that we saw last night than, playing Dwayne Washington, who right now it doesn't feel like he has a pathway to minutes.
But if you are going to go off of that reasoning by itself, right? Mm. If we have those five dudes on the court all at the same time, we're fucked.
Well, yeah, but you won't. Yeah. But the whole
point. So what's the point of working those five together as a unit? They should never be on the same on the court at the same time. That's my point.
I mean, you will be staggering those lineups for sure. But at times, yeah, you might have an all bench unit, or you might have a predominantly bench unit. And the starters are going to be good. We know that they're going to come in and do starters things, whether they're playing with each other or bench guys. The bench guys are the biggest question marks. You need to see what they have, what they can and can't do with each other. So I get, like, I understand, like, people were so upset about the jokes and the memes and just the slander that this franchise received after their last two games have both been embarrassments. But, like, it's a fucking preseason game.
I don't care about
that. It's not worth getting stressed
at all.
Over.
But again, if Monty really was like, okay, I need to get these starters reps together, I'm like, dude, they've been playing together for 3 years. Like, what?
Not with Cam.
Okay. Well, but Cam has been in that same he's been in that rotation before, replacing Crowder from time to time. Yeah. It's not like they've never played together, they've been together for so long. Like, I understand the bench because you got new pieces coming in and you got to try and work that a little bit, but like, I just don't understand the other pieces that you did add. Since you did almost nothing in the offseason to really bolster that bench, you might as well get the guys that were fringe guys to come out and see what they got, like even Dwayne Washington. I understand he might be on the fringes, or he might not, he might not even, hell, I don't know if he, well, he's on a two-way, so he's going to make the roster, but I just want to see what do we have here? And if you're not going to play him against the 36ers, are you going to play him at all in the preseason? Then what's the point?
I'm not going to accept that Jock Landale slander. That was a good pickup this offseason. I own all property in Landale Landing, and I will not take
what
that
is a landing?
It's a large piece of land overlooking,
like,
something. It's a landing,
it?
Yes.
Like King's Landing.
Anyway, Twitter was a toxic place last night and
this morning.
When is Twitter not a toxic place?
But like, especially
toxic.
So.
I mean, when you're taking shanks from ESPN all the big names are getting in on it. So I want you to pull up a seat at the couch. It's time for a little therapist espo, all right?
Okay.
Because everybody's feeling so bad about things. Oh. I want you to come in.
Wait, who's feeling bad about this?
Did you not go on Twitter?
Apparently
he
that
just
white
said
girl
Twitter.
On the grass.
Twitter, for those of you on Twitter. She was very upset on Twitter last night, and we need to get her some help.
Oh, she's struggling.
Whoever
she is.
For you.
Oh, my God.
It's a free therapy session. Oh. Sit down on the couch.
Sheesh. Okay.
Just a few things.
Right.
You're
looking
talk
at me, Gerald.
All right.
Listen. Oh, no.
Look, there's our good friend, fellow positive vibe guy, Vince Murata, tweeted out, 24 threes on 55% or better shooting has happened only 11 times in NBA history. That was historic shooting by the 36ers. Mm-hmm. All right. The people saying, oh, well, it was bad defense. You must have missed those times where Mikhail Bridges had his full arm extended with his hand in a guy's face, and he still canned three-pointers. There's nothing to be concerned about when it comes to the Phoenix Suns in this game. For you people saying, oh, the vibes are not immaculate. You can tell that it's that's the way it is. Get over it. The starters played well. They were vibing.
Clearly, they don't have an 8-point vibe
check.
They
don't.
System.
And they should, you know, I think they need to worry about that. But look, this is nothing concerning here. And anybody that's trying to sell you a bill of goods is just knows that the headline of Australian basketball team beats Suns or NBA championship hopeful, like, they just know that gets clicks. Yeah. So don't freak. Tomorrow or Wednesday is another day, and it's all the preseason. We all said we don't care about the preseason. We don't care about the regular season. Get to the playoffs. Like, don't be overly concerned about this.
Dent in the chat said there were multiple logo threes last night. Give the 36ers some credit.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do need to give them some credit as mm-hmm. well. And then I also know where you guys can place your blame. So my friend Gabe was sitting courtside last night. He was talking mad shit to the 36ers to the point where half the team – we're going back and forth with him.
Oh, boy.
Right? So we're going to blame Gabe because Gabe's the one who sparked the fire
and kept it
lit all night. That's why the 36ers went off the way they did.
Gabe, on behalf of Australia
Gabe, it's
and
all
Phoenix,
your fault.
Screw you.
Why are you shit-talking the 36ers, Gabe?
Yeah. Come on.
Aim higher. Aspire for more.
So are you not in the mood for jokes today?
I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, I would have shit talked the 36ers too.
Why? Until you realized it was helping them.
It's the 36ers. We're not talking about Michael Jordan out there.
Apparently, we were.
Okay, so then, you know.
Right, that's my point. Why are you even shit talking them at all?
My bad. I didn't realize we prayed for rain and now we had to deal with the mud. My fault.
That's right. That's what happened.
Oh, man.
Okay. Was there anything?
We need Gabe's address and or phone number.
I'm not going to dox him. Okay. I'm just putting the blame on him. Were there any positives that you guys saw from last night's game? Let's focus on some of the positive things here. Okay.
Still swole Bridges, baby.
Yeah.
My man looks yoked.
I told you.
And he's freaking aggressive. It was what we were asking for. That dunk he had cutting to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care if you're playing the 36ers or whoever. That was aggressiveness that we've wanted to see from Mikhail. I was excited about that.
I mean, it does matter who you play, but I get what you're saying. If that's the Mikhail Bridges we're going to get this year, that's the type of elevation we were talking about from those three, Cam, Mikhail, and DA. And DA looked pretty solid last night, too. Mm-hmm. Dunked a whole bunch of times.
Let's go.
Like, Jesus. If I got to hear about that shit all year, I'm going to lose it.
Well, you better prepare yourself right now.
But has Monty talked to him? Has Monty said a word to him yet? I need to know these things. I didn't get a bitch about that last week everybody else.
Feel free, Espo.
No,
it's a safe space.
Stupid. Just stupid. Just so dumb. They didn't talk. I don't give a shit. If DeAndre Ayton comes out and plays angry like he seemed like yesterday, great. It's a win. I don't care.
And he was normal in his post-game presser for the first time for those of you who were keeping track of the vibes. Fine.
I don't know how you could say that, Espo. Like, in any work environment, to go 3, 4, 5 months without talking to somebody is pretty crazy.
I would appreciate it. It's okay.
Would you?
You're so
full of shit.
You are so full of shit.
This guy can't stop texting us when he's on vacation. It's bullshit.
If I go quiet
to Espo for more than 2 hours,
yes.
He immediately asks me, is everything okay?
He's the first
that's
person.
Bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
If there is anybody here who is the first person to open the lines of communication, it is you.
Yep.
I didn't say which people. I did. Yep. It's not you three.
Oh,
you can guess if you want.
This therapy session went off the rails quick.
All of a sudden, Espo's cutthroat. Fuck them. Fuck them all.
I just
don't have to talk to win games.
Honestly, I think it's crap too. There's no way that there wasn't a text or the whole thing is stupid. Look, all that matters is what happens when they get in between the lines. He doesn't have to like Monty. Monty doesn't have to like him. It's basketball. It's not, Kobe and Shaq hated each other. You know, and guess what? They had a pretty damn good relationship on the court that won them titles. You know,
but Monty and DA are not Kobe and Shaq. Like, they were just too supremely. I get what you're saying, the larger point. I do think it was weird that they hadn't talked, but it seems like they've either nipped it in their bud or they've collectively decided to move on from it. And so that should be good enough for us. If we see other signs, then we'll talk about it when it comes up. But yeah, I don't think it was stupid to look at it and say, okay, the vibes are feeling pretty immaculate right now. Like, this is great.
I'm not like, I wasn't like, oh, well, that's good. Like, I wasn't like, it's not a positive, but it's also people like, the whole thing's burning down. And I'm like,
well, we lost internet connection and we lost Saul, but we're back now to finish the rest of the show. I don't know where we were, but what we're going to do anyway is we're going to tell you about our friends over at More Furniture, because at least we didn't lose these comfy chairs that we get to sit in every single day.
They are not buffering.
They are not buffering. They're soft as ever. So shout out to our friends over at More Furniture. And if you guys need some furniture to spruce up your home, check them out during their fall sale. It's happening at morefurniture.com. That's morfurniture.com. All right, you ready for a screenshot? I got a screenshot for you guys.
Well, can we get a screenshot now that the internet's
It's an audio screenshot.
It's an audio screenshot that we'll have to talk about?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Well, we can describe it because we'll put the video up.
Anyway, here's your screenshot presented by Arizona Department of Health Services. COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov/findvaccine for a location near you. So everyone in the chat was talking about it earlier. Devin Booker posted a screenshot of LeBron James from a press conference back in the day with, quote, mood underneath it. And I want to know if you guys think this is something, nothing, or everything, because
I think we actually have the audio of that press conference that the screenshot
was from.
Well,
that's even better, because if you haven't heard what LeBron said in that presser, well, here it is.
Does it bother you that so many people are happy to see you fail?
Absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, all the people that was rooting on me to fail, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow and have the same life that they had before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems that they had today. You know, and I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things that I want to do with me and my family and be happy with that. So.
So at the end of the day, you still broke, you still miserable, and you still ain't Devin Booker. Is it something, nothing, or everything?
The only thing that was egregious in that clip is LeBron's hairline there.
Other
than that, I don't have any problem with what was said or the fact that Devin Booker is projecting that out into the world, because it felt like every outlet and every national guy was ready to jump on the Suns the second anything went wrong early in this preseason or regular season. And that was his, I don't give an F about you. And quite frankly, he shouldn't. The Suns have proven themselves over the last few years, and one preseason game doesn't define him or this team. So have your fun on Twitter. Yuck it up, but it don't matter.
I'm going to say it's something, and it's not because I think that anyone should care about what happened. Like, if this had happened to any other NBA team, we would all be chiming in with the jokes too, because it's objectively funny for an NBA team to lose to a team from another league. Like, it just is. Even if it's preseason, like, people don't care how many minutes our starters played. They just want to make their jokes, and they have about this franchise for the last 2 years because Devin Booker is the face of it. And that's where I think it transitions to something, because I understand people are saying, I wish he hadn't like acknowledged this at all and had just, you know, treated it like this is beneath me, it's not even worth addressing. But at the same time, like, after the summer that this team has had, the way that people have reacted to him being on the cover and him being a top five MVP candidate and him being top 10 in ESPN NBA rank and all this other stuff, constantly saying he's overrated and all this other stuff, like, yeah, if you had to go through another day of like people joking and making the slanderous comments and whatnot, I'm okay with him addressing it. Like, I don't mind it at all. It is something. It's clear that like he's kind of annoyed by it and this is his way of addressing it, but like, I fully support it because it's annoying at this point.
Or is it just him finally clapping back a little bit, because we rarely see Devin clap back to anything that is said about him over the course of his career. He's hardly ever done that. Yeah. So is he finally just being like, go ahead, talk your talk, I don't care, because this is my life, I'm doing things that are beneficial for me, my team, my family, generations to come. If you don't like it, we'll get in line.
Or was he at the salon with Kendall? Was he a Bledsoe situation? It had nothing to do with basketball.
You stop it. I think clapping back is a way of letting people know that you're annoyed. I don't think it means he cares necessarily, because obviously you're posting that LeBron James clip. But I don't think it's just nothing for him to say something in this regard over a preseason game. And this is why, again, people don't like, they're going to look at this and be like, wow, he felt the need to address this from a preseason game. But for us here in Phoenix, we understand, like, people have just been talking shit about him for years, and it's okay for him to finally say something about it.
So you think this is something, nothing, or everything?
Oh, absolutely nothing. Honestly, like, I think Devin Booker's just kind of sick of it. He's just kind of tired. Tired of the slander, tired of the Sun slander, and how, you know, how they go and approach their business on a day-to-day basis. Everything from last year. I just think, like, people are so quick to bury him, but never quick to praise them.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I agree with Gerald. I think he's just, you know what? I'm sorry you guys all have shitty lives, that you feel like you have to pull me down, but it ain't happening. I'm going to just keep going.
Yeah, I got $250 million to go roll around in and not care about your bullshit on Twitter.
Yep.
That's the biggest thing that drives me nuts about, you want to talk about NBA fans or the Twitter discourse or whatever you want to call it. But, like, we've brought this up before. So many people watch this sport just to rip on its best players or on teams. And I don't understand it. Like, every superstar, you could name any superstar in the NBA, and you would, in the back of your mind, think of something that someone has ripped on them for at some point in time. And it's like, can't we just watch basketball to enjoy the fucking talent that's on display and not do this?
Basketball, it's just for clicks. It's content. It's it's baited content. That's what half of social media is these days. And it's super unfortunate that we all buy into it, right? Yeah. How many times have you seen people on Suns Twitter be like, yo, stop engaging with these outrageous Mavs fans. Stop engaging when the Clippers fans come into your mentions and try and do this or that. Like, at some point in time, we have to stop allowing them to bait us into engagement.
You mean like when EJ did that to me at like 1 a.m. this morning?
Wait, why did he do it?
He was like, why are you interacting with this fool that obviously knows nothing about basketball?
There you go.
I was like, I don't know. He hopped in my mentions.
EJ giving you a free therapy session.
But it's so true. It's absolutely true. Like, we got to talk about this too, though. The NBA is the most appealing sport because they don't, you know, you see them on an every other day basis. You see their reactions to every single thing. Mm-hmm. There's only 12 of them, and an individual can take over a game from time to time, as opposed to the other sports outside of maybe baseball with a pitcher, if a pitcher's on fire. But like, it's just a different kind of game, and it appeals to a lot of people on multiple different levels. And so it's the most relatable, because you know what somebody's feeling in a certain moment. Mm-hmm. And that's also the bad part about it, is because people think that you're vulnerable in whatever moments because they don't understand. That's the biggest thing, is like, so many people that have either never played the game or never played the game past like middle school have no idea the intensity and the feelings and the way people approach things on the court. I played against Mike Bibby in high school. Never had emotion for anything. Never showed it on his face. He would drop 50 on your head and just, it would be like, I just woke up. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter. Whereas I would be like, if I drop 50 on your head, you're going to hear it the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, people are just different. It doesn't mean one approach is better than the other, but people want to attack whatever approach doesn't appeal to them all the time. And I'm here to say, like, dude, get a life and go somewhere else, man.
Look, valid criticism, I don't mind. It's the irrational stuff a lot of times that drives me nuts. And so you're totally right that the NBA too is the most shareable sport, because they don't care if you share their highlights or you meme their highlights or any of that stuff. So, while that's a good thing, it comes with the double-edged sword of it becomes a lot easier to criticize in that way too.
Yeah. It's easily the most accessible sports league, and that is a double-edged sword.
But that's what makes it so great to me. Like, yes, that's why I love it more than the rest of the sports, is because of the accessibility to the players, to those stories, to those emotions. Like, that is also the best part of it, too.
But it's, and that's the crazy thing, though, is like you look at a guy like LeBron, right? Who on the court, he can be a little whiny. You don't like the way he plays, or maybe you're just an MJ fan like I am, and you're just like, I refuse to put you at the top of the pedestal. But a lot of people can't separate basketball from the human.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at LeBron the human, he's one of the best people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He constantly gives back, gives a lot of his money back to the communities, to the kids, to different philanthropic endeavors. Like, why can't we just be humble enough to understand, like, okay, I'm attacking LeBron as a basketball player because I don't like this decision. Cool. But you can't just sit there and say, I hate LeBron James all the time because I just don't like him. Like, why?
Because everything's one-dimensional and there's no nuance when it's on social, in particular Twitter. Because you can't have depth. You can't say, I saw this, but I don't believe that that's always true. Like, it's all or nothing. It's like, never
if,
depth.
If you, I know you guys have seen this. Lindsay, I know you've seen this, and Espo, I know you've seen this too, and I assume you have, Gerald. Like, if you've ever seen Devin Booker at a charity event, or like when they did the fashion walk a couple years ago, the fashion show, and there was this little girl that he was walking down the runway with, and the time that he took like 15 minutes just to spend time talking to this little girl. And like, if you've ever had a conversation with a five-year-old,
yeah,
as well as in this boat patience right now, like, it can be difficult, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it takes a very unique human being to be able to relate to somebody on that level. Mm. And that he took the time and the effort to do that kind of stuff. But people don't see that. No. They don't see that all the time. And when they do see it, it's like force fed to them through the prism of the team, as opposed to like you just genuinely seeing that. But people need to understand, like, these guys put a lot of time and effort, not only into the game and to what their routine is, but also into the community, into people. Like, they genuinely care. Like, Devin Booker, I know, genuinely cares about Suns fans.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Suns fans will be quick, or NBA fans will be quick to turn around and be like, well, he didn't do this, or he didn't do this, or he didn't do this. And right. It's just toxic.
During pregame routines, you see him when he leaves the court, like, it's just, he's like the Pied Piper, the way that the fans are gathered around him just to get autographs, and the way that he takes time doing that.
I usually play the flute behind him.
Right, so. Exactly. He's an exemplary dude in that respect. I think with this particular conversation, though, it is directly related to what happened in a preseason game. I think we're all a little bit sensitive as Suns people based on the way the last few months have been. We're a little tightly wound up over this, so the jokes were probably hitting deeper than they should have. They were funny. They were funny, but Twitter was a toxic place last night because of us backlashing to these jokes. And like, it's unfortunate that Devin Booker gave it a response and gave it more life the next day. But I understand from his perspective, like, man, it's been months and years of this shit. Like, stop.
It's a natural human reaction.
Right.
And we want that from our athletes. And when they give it, we shit on them for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's problematic to me, too. Oh, we want these guys to be real. Show it, and then you show them emotion, yep. And then yep. They get hammered for it. I hate that about
DA
it.
Is the oh, model yes. Citizen for that. Like,
if he's happy, oh, he's too happy.
Yeah, doesn't care.
If he's upset, oh,
enough.
He's an ass.
Yeah, like, not aggressive enough. He's playing video games way too late. It's completely look at his body language. It's not good. Blah blah blah. It's like, dude, it's just.
We just want to have our cake and eat it too.
Just take a step back. Mm-hmm. Take a deep breath.
Just give me winning basketball.
No, you know what you need. You know what you need.
What?
You need to go get yourself some OGs
yes.
And just calm. You know what? Down.
The fuck.
Yes. They're
is
all
that
kinds.
Their new flavor?
Yes, it should
calm
be.
The
let's
fuck
talk
down.
To them. They need a flavor that's just, you know, calm yourself down.
But maybe that's our next shirt.
Maybe.
Calm.
That's actually
calm
a really good
down.
Idea.
Calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Sponsored by
sponsored by OGs and Suns. That's
and the
our
Suns
cross,
off-season.
Crossover shirt.
Hold on.
Yeah. Let's go.
That's our theme for the
year. Did we just have a collaboration?
Yes. Calm the fuck down.
That's
yes.
Our theme for the year.
There it is.
Calm the fuck down.
There yep. You go.
Welcome
there
to Suns 2022. Calm the fuck down.
With a PH.
Yes.
You guys should definitely grab some OGs, whether it's They're uppers, the downers. I don't remember what they're
sativa
called.
Sativa indica.
Don't say uppers and downers.
Oh, my bad.
That's a different kind.
This ain't Molly.
No, this is embarrassing.
They got powders in it.
Can we rewind and cut that off? No, didn't you say like indica and sativa is like...
It won't
one
make you
gives
go
you
sleep.
More energy and one makes you a little sleepier. Yeah.
Uppers and downers are
like completely different. Okay, well, that's what I meant. I'm
Lindsay's
sorry.
Lindsay's pushing Quaaludes on her.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, not uppers and downers.
This is so embarrassing. So. Let me try again. Whether you would like a little bit more energy.
By the way, crack
RVs.
Is an upper.
Crack is less.
No, you're making this worse. I'm going to start turning red. Lord have mercy. Espo, I think you need to do OG's ads from now on because I'm failing miserably.
That's OG's.com, OGEZ.com, or you can find them at your local dispensaries, indica, sativa, whatever you need. They got you covered. The best flavors in the business. Lindsay's trying to sell you something else, but I'm trying to sell you new OGs right here. Calm the fuck
down.
The
new Sleepy Time gummy is elite with that new CBN. Oh my goodness. I took it last night. I took 10 migs for the first time. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember life.
CBM, that's the same league that this 36ers were in, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't. Like I fell asleep and I woke up and I was like, what the hell just happened the last 10 hours?
But did you feel real rested?
Man, so rested.
A lot of Suns fans wish they had done that last night.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to do it. Sometimes you just got popping OGs when you're stressed and you're just like, okay, let me just that honestly, that is the best pivot. Is if you look and you know Twitter is just going to be ravaged with trolls, just pop an OGs and call it a day.
Get above
put
it.
Your phone down.
Put some Ted Lasso on and just chill.
Mm-hmm.
Tap that believe sign.
All right, one last time. You can check them out at OGsBrands.com. You can find them on Instagram at OGsBrands. And you can find their products at your local dispensary. But you must be 21 years or older to purchase. Stop it, Zaw. I'm already embarrassed.
You can find
my
what
head,
Lindsay was pushing.
My ears are hot. The back of my head is throbbing because I'm already embarrassed.
You can find what Lindsay uppers. Was pushing anywhere that there's shoes strung over an electrical wire.
Jesus. Land the plane.
Oh, my God.
Land it.
If you see somebody wearing an orange hoodie or a beanie, walk the other way.
Yeah, my boy. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Lindsay's with AZ. You can follow Saw underscore Bookman. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And, of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us
home. Can I do it?
No, I got one.
I got one, too. You go first.
So.
You go first.
Okay. Just remember, when the internet goes down, the show gets better. So look for the replay.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, whether you're up or down, you always come here to fuck around.
Like Dan G, no plan B, always on the job. My team move like the mob, turn the beat on. I throw it down like DA on the lob. Best combo since KJ Marley and Charles. If you squat, just sitting on the chat, get involved. Rhymes say it's got flavor.